Hello, gorgeous beasts. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast and enjoying it and staying with us and doing deep woo-woo stuff while at the same time getting your laugh on with Cassidy and myself. We want to let you know before the podcast today that I'm doing a 3-day healing retreat in Mancos, Colorado, known to many a spiritual practitioner as the womb of the world. We have room for 10 people to join us on this 3-day healing retreat, during which time I will be channeling all of the different light beings that desire to come through. So different races of light beings exist, like the Mintakans and the Pleiadians and the Sirians and the Lyrans, and they like to show up and contribute high vibrational healing energy. So what we'll do is November 6th through 8th, you'll join us in person here in Mancos, Colorado. We've got discounted hotel rooms for you all set up. It'll be stunningly gorgeous and crazy high vibe. And this is for people who are looking for healing, integration, and or to know God and the divine more intimately. You don't have to be traumatized to be on a spiritual path, and being traumatized is kind of helpful when you're on a spiritual path. So join us November 6th to 8th, Mancos, Colorado. Email me if you're interested, klrubin@gmail.com. That's K as in kiss, L as in love, R-U-B-I-N at gmail.com.
Welcome to that spiritual actual factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, beside you, reciting the records of cash. We laughing, we drafting the passion to bury. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass me. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
What a lovely segue into my current reality, which is I have moved to the Valley of Empty Space. I'm moving to a town called Mancos, Colorado. That is, I feel like when people made pictures that they then described as being what they thought heaven was, they had been in Mancos. They must have been in Mancos when they made the picture. They were like, I mean, these valleys and these hills, and they roll forever, and it's so green, and the sky is always blue, and the puffy white cloud. It's fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And also, the silence there is unlike any silence I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Nothing. And then the spiritual energy is stupid, stupid, stupid.
Just off the charts.
So much so, in fact, that I messaged my buddy William, who we had on here, and I was like,
yeah,
if I'm a vortex and I live on a vortex, is that a bad idea? Like,
is that too much?
Can't you have
Will that create
much?
A hell mouth? What's going to happen?
A hell mouth.
Buffy shows up. It's all kind of madness.
I'm just like, I don't know, bro. It's so intense. It's really intense. Like, so intense that I left, you know, a couple days ago, like I was telling you before we started recording, to go to Albuquerque, New Mexico, to see my dad and some family. And you come out of that valley and there is a distinct, like, return to earth feeling.
Wow.
Where it's like, oh, right. Like, humans live here. I have never felt anything like it ever.
That is magical. I'm so happy for you. That is awesome. This is to add to it, but also it's a bit of a, you may know this, you are there during the best time to be in the Southwest. Like,
oh, of course.
The late summer, fall is when it is magic, most magic.
Yeah.
Winter's going to kick your ass in.
Except,
just letting you know.
Except, I know you're correct, except that everyone I've been in Mancos, I've been like, so how's the winter? And they're like, well, it's kind of amazing here because around somewhere between noon and three, the sun comes. It's very sunny and dry every day. So even when it's really cold or if it has snowed, the snow goes away real, real fast because the sun comes.
Hmm.
They're like, it's not Aspen. This is not, because we're like way south.
Right.
You know the area, but...
Well,
anyway.
I just know that, like, that's kind of what drove my dad away. He was living right, like, not at all far from where you are.
Really?
My folks were living near Durango. They had moved back there because they wanted to be back in that area. And finally, the winters just got too much for him. But it also, he's older. It dry cold is the most intense cold. So it gets into your bones. So just, it's not to like scare you at all. It's just say like, know that that's going to be happening and be prepared for absolutely stunningly beautiful winter. Also,
yeah.
That's going to kick your ass in the right way. You're going to be like, how did it get prettier? How
did
it get more gorgeous?
My main fears are, I know it'll be cold. That'll be okay. I think I'm worried about driving on ice and snow and stuff. Like I don't like that. And I'm worried about like getting so freaked out by driving on snow and ice that I just never leave my house and like starve to death.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Although I've got like 20 pounds on me that could just go bye-bye today and that would be fine. So maybe
you could just carve off parts of your body
and eat it.
Feast on them.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I don't know. And then like, you know, you order something from Amazon and it's like, Amazon goes, I'm sorry, where?
No, we don't deliver there. I have to admit to some very much feelings of like, it's almost jealousy, not just envy. Like I have been like kind of processing a lot this week.
Yeah.
If we can talk about me.
Please.
I just haven't been in a good mood for several days.
Just been,
you know, and that's fine because the fucking world sucks. And it's beautiful, but it's shitty out there. And so many shitty things are happening. Anyway, that's to say, haven't been happy, but have been working on being okay with not being happy rather than like trying to be happy.
Uh-huh.
And just be like, yeah, sucks. I don't want to wallow in it, but I need to be okay with it, with my feelings in it.
I mean, my point of view is, right now, this is unique and not something I could defend in any kind of court of anything. Nor do I
the
think
court
it's
of
like,
the spiritual decisions.
Yeah, nor do I think it's correct or good or right. But what I like is, you know, and part of like the whole purpose of this podcast is to help people get that like step one is have the feeling and don't try to make it go away. Step two is bring the light to it directly and then watch it lessen and move through quicker than it would if you didn't bring the light to it. And that's the whole, for me, the whole point of spirit. Well, that's a big part of the point of spirituality is that it moves things. It's like water in the pipes. And it's not to move it through to get rid of it because it's bad and shouldn't be here. It's because like, for me, it lightens the heaviness of it. It turns it back into light. And so we're not carrying such a heavy burden.
Right.
But that's,
which then allows one a little bit more ability to get back into the fray, you know? Like to do the work both inside and out, to do that work as well as, you know, I've been doing more activist work. I've been doing more phone bank stuff and committee stuff.
I saw your
and
Facebook stuff about all that. Yeah.
Just trying to get more involved, active. And that's somewhat allaying it because it's engagement. But even that, like I didn't do a phone banking thing today because I was like, I can't. I just want to do it. I was dreading it too much.
Yeah.
So I just canceled.
Good for you. You know, there's another principle that everyone I know in California is going through right now. By the way, like, see, what's interesting to me is I'm like 99% sure if I were in California right now, I'd feel exactly how you feel.
Right.
But the energy here is quite different.
Yeah.
Quite different. And I know you and I know you're an empath and you're your own kind of empath, but you are and you're sensitive and you're attuned to things, particularly people. And when you're in such an inundated heaviness, like California is really going through it, really culturally, I mean, really going through it on all the levels, as you know. So I just wonder how much of it is actually your awareness of that, that you're carrying in your being, because that's what we do as empaths.
Right. That reminds me of the thing of, is this mine or someone else's?
That's right.
I should do a little of that.
Yeah.
I'll do a little of that work next time I have a sit.
Yeah. Well, thank you for telling me us the truth. I don't feel, you know, I don't, it makes me laugh.
It's funny. It's ridiculous. I love you.
There is a thing where there are certain choices that we make that elevate us or move us forward in the next step or whatever, that is the in the most flow, in the least resistance, ease, abundance, all of it. And so I try to stay away from the language of right or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it the right thing? You know, it's sort of like I have had a life where I've been like, I need things to be easier. A lot easier. I've had a not easy time in a lot of ways, like in the most formative like years. And so I had a real commitment to like, what does it take for your life to be flow and more magic and ease? So I'm not like having to fucking struggle a lot. I don't know. So that's for me, what motivates me to follow things like the light. You know, like, I'll tell you another thing. Since I've been here, I mean, I'm here. You see this beautiful hotel. I'm in Taos right now. Taos is gorgeous. I could move to Taos. I've been to all kinds of places since I've been here. Durango and Silverton and Sedona. And I keep being like, you know, could I go there? Could I go there? Could I go there? And I keep getting no's. And the only place that lights up as a yes is here, you know, is Mancos and the sort of Dolores Cortez area. And when I was in the Dolores Cortez area, guess what? Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after flow after ease after flow after ease. So I'm like, okay, here's the trippiest part about it. If ever there was a time that the lesson I learned in Sufi school was correct, they talked about the eyes and how the eyes always, it's like they taught us never to make choices with our eyes. They were like, always close your eyes and go inside and listen to what they would say, what Allah gives your heart. Okay. The way I would language that would be something like, what lights up and is a yes, or lights up your universe internally from within. Because what I mean is, when I look around with my eyes in Mancos, Colorado, I'm not that excited. I mean, it's stunning landscape. It's fucking stunning. It's like I said, it's like being in heaven, but it's not like urban. It's not a city. There's no fucking Starbucks. Like, I'm a city girl. I'm like, this doesn't look very good to me. This looks scary and isolating and lonely. And am I going to start wearing Tevas and be like frumpy now and like go ride my kayak all the time? Like, what is this life? This life looks nothing from the eyes like what I think in my mind my life should look like. And on the inner levels, everything lights up. I walked into a store and found three apartments. Like, they're not apartments. They're like stunning places. Every realtor I talked to was like, there's no rentals. I have three that I chose between. They were like, no, there's no rentals now. The rental market is, you can't find anything. I found three my first day.
Wow.
I have five friends. I'm like late right now for a cidery opening where I guess I'm going to do a stand-up show because my friend, and I've been on five dates in 2 weeks. Five dates. I haven't been on five dates in California ever.
Were these app dates? How did they come about?
Dating apps.
Yeah.
But like Colorado dudes, I don't know. The alignment is different. People are like actually interested in me here. And people keep saying that I'm sort of attractive. I always feel like a big frumpy elephant in California. And here I'm like I think I'm an attractive person here or something. I don't know what's happening. It's just spiritual alignment. And then everything starts to fucking flow. I got here and like three clients I've never met booked at my biggest package through my website, through just Googling, and that never happens. So, I mean, I don't even know, man. I am continually like on the path and marveling at the path.
That's going like, amazing.
Are we sure about this? And then another miracle happens. And I go, yeah, but really? And then another miracle happens. So anyway, I
hope you have a guest room because I'm on my way.
Come visit. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, there's so much we can do too. It's so pretty.
Love the Southwest. And you can meet my aunt who you would go apeshit for. You would love her so much.
Really?
Yeah, you really should. I know my dad was like, you should meet my sister. I'm like, no, you actually should meet my sister.
Okay, no, I'm going to 100% do it then.
She's amazing. And she is Southwest Texas cowboy type to the core, but she's Dolly Parton like in miniature.
Like she's got double B's instead of double D's.
Right. I don't want to talk about my aunt's breasts, but that's cool.
Don't you? I'm trying to find my prayer. Hold on. Don't you want to talk about her boobs? Come on.
Nope. I don't know if she listens to the podcast, but now we've done that. That's fine. It's totally cool. She's an awesome, awesome lady. She's also like a traveling nurse. She's, you know, good people.
I love her already. No, I'm 100% contacting her. Thank you.
Yeah, you totally should.
All right. Should we bring on our guest? 3, 2, 1, Zo. Hey.
That's no a photo. Yet.
Hello.
Hi. Can you all see me?
We can't see you yet. Your video's not active.
Right. Let me get on that, shall I? Thank you.
Margaret! Hey! Hi, good to see you.
Hi. Yeah, really good to see you guys too. I'm somewhere between like calm and centered and off the wall excited and enthusiastic about this. And I'll sit somewhere in between the whole time. It's very exciting.
Well, what a treat for us to have somebody be so happy to hang with us. Thank you for bringing such love and enthusiasm.
It's great.
Oh my God. Like, can I start gushing straight away?
All day. We need gushing.
We like it. We need it.
We need the gushing.
I've had a shit week. Say nice things.
Gosh.
Honestly, look, I may even cry with the gushing too. Like, you have no idea how important your podcast has been for me since I found it. It has been so meaningful, so wonderful. What you guys bring to the stuff you are talking about is just unbelievably wonderful and appreciated. Oh, I have so much to say. Like, from the first episode, guys, Cassidy, you're hilarious. Like, you set yourself up as this, like sidekicks kind of skeptic straight away, and like you have been anything but like skeptical. Ha ha ha.
I know. I learned that pretty quickly. I was like, oh, I'm not the skeptic. That's not true at all.
And Cassie, your openness that you bring to this is so beautiful. And I mean open across everything, from your own willingness to like share, show yourself, be humorous, be smart, give your ideas, be wrong, be right. Here's my family. Here's my mom, my dad, Rami, the important people in my life. We'll talk about it here, open. Every time anybody brings something up, you go, yeah, let's do that. Let's try that. Yeah, I mean, it's just like yes consciousness. Yeah. Openness. So beautiful to just be a part of and to listen to. So that's been amazing. You're amazing. Katie, oh my goodness. Yes, that's right, Cassidy. Just appreciate it. Just enjoy it.
Getting the vapors here.
And back to that first episode, like, it's really funny. I've actually, because I've listened to them all, but I've gone back and taken notes and re-listened to many of them. And the first one just has so many hilarious comedic moments. And that's the other thing for both of you, to be comedic, to be an entertainer, what a gift. Like, what a gift. Mm. To make people want to feel and make people want to laugh. Mm. Like, thank you. Oh, thank you.
My God. You know. Margaret, can you come live in my house forever?
Just if you just want to put in an earpiece.
Right. Just everyone. Margaret, I'm feeling a little down on myself. Can you just say a few? Thank you. Good. I'm ready.
Or like, it's like you could have a Margaret cam that you could tap on your ear and just be like, and it's always running. It's like a stream wonder.
It's not a problem. Because this is the other thing. When it is felt so authentically, I need to say this stuff. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not, I have this, whenever I feel something so strongly, I have to express it. So, here's me at home and with my friends talking about this podcast. If you listen to this podcast, of you guys, and it's almost frustrating because they might not have listened yet, or they're going to listen to it or whatever. But like with you guys, you know all the content, you know what you're doing. I'm like, we're on the same page. I can talk to you guys about this. Katie, look, just back to you. Your diligence in your personal work, and I know everything you say about, hey, I do it because I need it. I need it. Mm-hmm. And I know your story. I've been, you know, listening to your stuff for years. I hear where you've come from, but my appreciation for the diligence of your work and then share it and give it to the world just kills me with appreciation. I mean, I'm even having chills thinking about it, actually. Like, you don't have to do that for us. You can do it for you know, but then to take that and just kind of go, well, here, maybe this will help somebody else. Maybe it won't, but hey. And beautiful, casual, I'm just going to throw this out there, delivery, which just makes it really easy to receive as well, because it's like, you're not going to be perfect. You're just half the time just going, I'm walking along a street. I'm just going to take a little video. Maybe this will help somebody, you know, like, I'm just going to sit down. Cassidy, let's do this podcast. Let's see how we go. It's like.
That's kind of how it came about. It's like, let's do a podcast. Okay.
It comes across like that, but it shows us how we can be like that. You know, I can be a little bit more careful and controlled about things and want to get it right and want to do it just so. Then you present this and it's perfect in its everythingness, in its humor, and then the depth. Oh, and your guests. Oh my God, your guests. The most beautiful people, the most interesting, you know, breadth of experiences and questions and so good. I love this podcast, guys. Really good.
Desmond, are you recording all this? Because you need to make this into our promo.
For real. We need some testimonial energy. We have it here.
Well, look, even Desmond's got some gold. I'm, you know, even in the things I write down, like there's some little Desmond quotes. He doesn't say much, but when he does, it can be quite like, ba-bam. It's really good. So, like, fantastic. I really could go on, and I really could, you know, now that we've met like this, you'll be getting my, like, post-episode emails telling you what I loved about that, you know, what I appreciated. Here's my quotes from this episode. You know,
do you have any notes for us? You know, you could have gone a little.
I totally would have too. But, you know, so that's just, you'll get more in the future. Don't you worry about that.
Incredible and amazing. And I'm just looking at which prayer we're going to use to open your records, because I want to just get inside the bubble of light that is you, like, as fast as possible.
Which is amazing, isn't it? Because I am this bubble of light because of you guys. You know, it's like that kind of, you know, you step me up, I step you up. You step me up, I step you up.
True. Margaret, before we even do that, though, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what do you do professionally? What's your life like? Who the hell are you? What's happening?
My life is great. Okay, so what I do professionally is I write biographies. I write people's life stories.
What?
And so, I'll just try to briefly tell you how that came about, too, which will sort of link with my questions as well.
Oh, good.
I'm the seventh child in a family of seven kids, right? And there's two sets of twins. There's twins at the top, then three singles, then twins at the bottom, of which I'm one of the twins. And I really noticed growing up that because my elder brothers and sisters are 12 years older than me, we have different family stories that we tell, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, because I was around for the first 12 years of their life and then I was born. And so they all have stories about when the younger twins were born and things like that. And around the turn of the century, I sort of was thinking about our family and thinking, wow, like, large Irish Catholic type families are going to be a thing of the past soon. And everything's changing a lot. And we're quite a unique family at this time. So I decided, just as a hobby, just for me, I recorded interviews with every single one of my family members, from my mum and dad down, all of us. And I put it all together in a book that I called Nine Lives, because there's nine of us. And to show how people growing up in the same family have differences and similarities and how we all frame things. And so from doing that, people would say to me, I'd talk to people about it and they'd go like, wow, I wish someone would interview, like, my grandma's turning 90. I wish someone would do her life story. And, you know, my grandparents and my dad and my mum and, okay.
Wow.
So that's how I became a biographer. I framed it as a business. And so I interview mostly seniors, mostly elderly, you know, people in the 80s and 90s. And I go and sit with them and I get them to tell me their life story. And I question them and prompt them and guide them and get them to reminisce and structure it all together. And then I go away and I write their book in their words, so it's for them, and then give it to the family, and the family have their life story for forever. So, yeah, that's what I do professionally.
Are you interested in them being published, or is it published for the family mostly, or both?
It's published for the family. I've never had the opportunity or been very inclined for them to be published broadly.
Huh.
Maybe there will be one day. Maybe there will. I don't. That's part of my question. Like, where does this go? You know. Right. But there's such value in it just as it is that I'm not highly driven by that question, because if it's, you know what, even if it's just for the person I'm interviewing, because there's such therapy in reminiscence and in storytelling and getting to speak your own life, you know. So even if it's just for their value, great. And then if it's for the family value, great. And then if it's for the broader value, great. So that's what I did professionally. And then my life looks like myself and my husband and my two teenage children all live together, and we all work from home. The kids have never been to school. We are what's known as radical unschoolers. So they get to do what they want. And in fact, like my husband in the last couple of years sort of stopped working in any kind of conventional way. And so we're like, look, in I think it was episode 2 or 3, one of the readings talked about like dilettante, you know, and like the record keepers were like saying, these are the people. And I'm like going, honestly, we like do what we want. We're, you know, developing. I'm an artist as well, and I like all forms of creativity. And so is my husband. He's a photographer as well. And so we're just like completely developing those parts of our lives.
Wow.
And trying to figure out how to make money.
Yeah, girl.
Along the way. That's tricky. Yeah.
Well, it's doable when you commit to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I want to spread you on a water cracker and eat you for dinner. I want a little red wine and you spread on like a flatbread with a little olive oil and garlic.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
Margaret just right in there. Or
a little Margaret tomato.
Yeah. Or maybe what I'd like to do is grind you up. Freeze you.
It's getting weirder, Katie. Just to let you know.
We're gonna put you into a chocolate gelato. Eat that up. Delicious. Go to sleep, full belly, wake up a little hungover from the sugar, but so happy.
Yeah. We don't want it too rich.
I just want to sprinkle her on like pasta.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's sort of like a cheese, or maybe like a nutritional yeast kind of a thing,
nooch,
you know, just a nice little nooch.
Yeah.
A little Margaret nooch.
I'd like to roll you, Margaret, through a pasta maker and turn you into little sheets of dough and then heat you up and then put a Alfredo sauce on it.
I'd like to wear your face like a mask. Wait, no. Did I go? I think it was that. Was that what we were doing, you guys? Did I miss cue? I missed some cues.
At that point, not the face mask point, but at another point. That just reminds me of something else I wanted to say about one of the earlier podcasts, was when there was a reading about your relationship, your guys' relationship.
Me and Katie.
Your familial connection. Oh, my goodness, that was so beautiful as well. And that, like, again, not that, I mean, you guys were there, you heard it, you live your relationship, but like just hearing you riff like that from opposite each other, it's like, oh, your relationship, it is so beautiful. And even that has so much to offer, like just to be a part of that and to witness it and watch it and listen to it.
Thank you for saying that, Margaret. I've had a few people actually, I don't even think I've shared that with you, Cass, but like a few people we know collectively, but then other people who we don't know who've heard the podcast will say like, I love being inside your guys' relationship. And that like so touches my heart. A friend of mine in Michigan said, like, she referred to both of you. She said, those two men, they're so open. And that it's like, excuse me. She's like, I need all the men in my life to hear your podcast just to know that men like that exist.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I feel like spoiled because I'm like, yeah, of course, they're right here. It's these guys. So, what do you mean? But that tells me how like in the bubble of awesome I've been.
And like, what a beautiful thing for you, because I know you refer to Cassidy as having grown up in a bubble of awesome, you know, and so it's kind of like, I want that. Oh, great. You've created it.
Right.
Like, good call, Margaret.
Have either of you ever been to Perth, Australia?
No. Can we come?
Oh, well, you might have to wait a few months.
There's a travel ban and, you know. We're not really welcome there right now. That's totally valid.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough.
We're terrible Americans.
See you in a year.
Perfect.
We're on our way.
We're terrible Americans.
So is Perth, I forget, is Perth on one of the coasts or is it inland?
Yeah, it's right on the, we're right on the coast, on the western coast of Western Australia. So yeah.
Wow.
Right there. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How cool. All right.
That's
let's
awesome.
Do it. I think it's time. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, Margaret, let me just grab, I think it's Margaret McCarahan.
Correct.
Is Margaret Louise.
Yeah.
Thank you. Margaret Louise McCarahan. Thank you. Got it. Okay. And that's like super duper Irish, right?
Yeah, it is. And I mean, we're very, my heritage is Australian. It's an Irish okay. way, but I don't know how many generations, but yeah.
Very cool.
When you got that name. Yeah.
Do you go back to prisoners?
I don't think so.
That's less interesting.
Yes. Sorry about that story.
What a shame.
Damn. Yeah. I wanted to hear that.
Yeah, just good folk.
All right. Let's do this. I'm thrilled. I can't wait another minute to get it. I want to get in the vibe of Margaret Louise.
Let's see what's there.
All right. So we'll just close our eyes for just a moment. And we'll take a few deep breaths and breathe into that low belly area. All right. And I'm just checking in with my record keepers for Margaret. Are we going to ground? Are we going to do that thing? No, we're just going to start with the prayer. God, ever since I'm out here in the Southwest, I'm telling you guys, everything's just bing, bing, available. It's pretty freaking trippy. So we'll breathe into the low belly. Margaret, we'll bring you centered into your heart, this feeling into the heart center. Breathing into the low belly, feeling your feelings, feeling the sits bones on the chair, feeling the bottoms of your feet in contact with the earth below. Amen. Divine Lords of Unconditional Love, off we go. Please help us to center fully in this moment as we create this sacred space. Please wrap us in your love and protection and allow us to travel to the highest realms of the Akasha available to us today. Help us as we lay our multidimensional hearts open to divine love and release all resistance. Lords of the records, please guide us to the deepest truth we can access now. Support us in healing and releasing that which no longer serves. Amen. On our true path, we give great thanks for your divine love and support on this journey. Divine Mother, Father, Goddess, God, please hold Margaret Louise McCarahan in divine light and love. Goodness me, as we make this journey, keep us guided, please, guarded and protected as we travel in these Akashic realms. Allah. Akashic Lords, Masters, and Teachers, please show me what it feels like to be a clear channel of the Akashic record for Margaret Louise McCarahan. I ask the assistance of the record keepers of the Akashic field to take us all deeply into the record of Margaret Louise McCarahan and teach us the truth of the soul. I'll go quiet for just a moment. Well, Margaret, you know, God, what a gift you are to the human race. And so it is. There's so much information immediately for you. My experience of your soul and your spiritual essence is literally like the embodiment of love, which is to say, the love that permeates your being goes all the way down through your pelvic floor. There is no part of your midline that is missing the love and the alignment with the love. In fact, this is fascinating. Part of your presence here today is to teach me, Katie Rubin, what it is to be a love-embodied human who is making choices that are simply and truly about what is desired. As you mentioned before we open the records, what is desired? We desire my husband and I to do this and that, and that's what we do. And hallelujah, namaste, so it is. There is no functioning from proving or obligation or striving or status seeking or any of it. And they're telling me my Katie here, Ruben's journey here in this new movement to this part of the world is to learn how to be the embodiment of love in human form. Sure, I can do the divine channely thing, but human form, there's more to learn about how to walk around as the open-hearted love vibrant frequency that Margaret here carries. So namaste, and we bow to you, and we thank you for being here. Also, your auric field is golden, golden. There's just golden light everywhere. Golden light through you, golden light around you. You've got a strong connection to the angelic realm in particular. Just thank you for being here. Like, what a treat to get to. I knew I had to get into your goddamn energy field because I'm like, what is it about that, lady? That is a special experience. Thank you so much, Margaret, for being here with us. So why don't we dive into your questions?
The questions that I read out, that I sent to you, were the first one was about being a twin. And I'm just going to read it out again. What I actually wrote was, I was born a twin. I came in 7 minutes after my twin brother. As adults, he and I are not close, much to my sadness and his indifference. What was my purpose in incarnating via a multiple birth womb sharing scenario? How has this impacted my life, my relationships, and my spiritual path?
What a cool question. Okay, let's go with the first one first. So, and could you remind me, what is his full legal name? Okay. So the first question is, what was the reason you said for incarnating as a twin?
Yeah.
Okay. First things first. Okay. Remember, everyone listening. Okay. When we say things like light and happy and love versus like heavy and sad and not as happy, there is no judgment of any of that. We are simply articulating what is occurring. Okay. So your brother came in not quite as ready to embrace the love and the light. Okay. You were like already a pretty strong light carrier, light being when you came in, when you incarnated, and you two had a karmic tie and an agreement to incarnate together, because this is the phrase they're giving me. You slipped him into being. It was like he got to slip and slide his way right into being. Whereas had you not incarnated as his twin, he would have had a difficult birth, first of all, and an even harder first several years of his life. You two, there was an agreement you made in past lives or past times and dimensions where you know, he did some stuff for you. We might get info. Okay. See him in a golden, if you can imagine a suit of armor, like a soldier in that sort of like full metal covers the face with a faceplate of metal, head to toe suit of armor, but it's golden, almost like he's a guard of some kind of royal family or something. And he did you a solid. He did you several solids. You were unrelated to him. Some kind of, I want to say like street urchin, like an orphan. And he, is that right? Yes. Okay. Were they related? No. Okay. So, and he helped you out. There was karmic something. You agreed to like help him out in future lives. This was never stated overtly. This was just what the souls did in communion with one another. So this was a gift you provided him, number one. Number two, there has been like a, you know, Margaret, probably, that people who are happy and full of love often trigger the shit out of other people, because most people are not happy, nor are they full of love. So when you walk around making choices that you want to make and feeling good, it's a real ego trigger to a lot of people. So, but what you have to get on the deeper level, and this actually relates directly to something Cassidy and I were talking about before you came on. When you trigger people from a place of light, it is the biggest gift you can give a human being. Because a human being who's jealous of someone else's light, that jealousy is the seed of the, it's like the, what do you call that? The friction, the seed of friction that, it's going to, like the pee under the mattresses for the, what's that story with the kid who sleeps
princess on the pee?
Yeah, the princess and the pee. If there's no pee, it doesn't agitate. And then the princess just sleeps and she's pretty and she never grows. But so you're like this seed of friction for him. And for, by the way, a number of people in your family, because of everything you have and who you are and how you, it's like some people in your family look at you and go, why is it she doesn't even have a lot of stuff? Why are we jealous of her? How, but then they just cover that over with like, but we're not, we don't care. That's not, who cares? It's okay. We're cool. We don't care. And they care. They really, really care. So you understand that like when you trigger someone from a place of light, it, you're doing them the greatest favor you can do. We think in this world, the way to be good to people is be nicey nice all the time. It's not. The way to be good to people is to help them fucking grow up. Because you're, guess what? Your life works better when you grow up. Now, grow up doesn't mean get rid of your joy and get rid of your childlike energy at all. As we you know, on this podcast are evidence of, hopefully that's the goal. But it means own your stuff. Do your work. Be the adult, mature, looking at yourself, looking in the mirror clearly version of yourself. That's what your light agitates in him everywhere he's not willing to do it. Now, interestingly, with him, he's not like dying or anything. He's not like a heroin addict in the streets, right?
Right.
He's just kind of a little more walled up, a little more guarded, a little more shut down, a little cooler. He's very cool a little bit. And he's very smart, very cool. And he's like, I'm cool and smart. I'm good. Thanks. You know, cool and smart is a great, great way to stay out of your heart and to never know the light of the divine. You're familiar with that idea, yes?
Yes.
So again, it's not like, oh, he's some terrible, troubled soul. It's more just that's the role you play. So that was a big part of why it incarnated that way. Now, was there other reasons? Not that are relevant here. What was the second question?
How has this impacted my life, my relationships, and my spiritual path?
Before we go there, sorry, they're saying, so how did all that information land? Do you have any questions off of that first chunk? Do you have any thoughts, feelings you'd like to share, anything at all?
It landed beautifully. I think there's something so beautiful to me about giving somebody that gift of coming in to benefit them, like saying, I'll do that. Like, yeah, that sort of fits with how I feel about things. Like, if I can be of good, then yay. But when you are faced with somebody who's walled off, it doesn't feel like you've been of good. It feels like they're going, what are you for?
You know, so 100%.
Yeah, that it landed beautifully.
Okay. Now, you know, it's funny. They're like, when you ask that second question, they're sort of going, no, no, no. In other words, let me just see what that is. They're like, in other words, it impacted your life in all the ways that you know.
Right.
You already know how it impacted your life. Did it do anything to the spiritual path? Yeah, it forwarded your karma in the sense that you did your, you had a contract with him to do this, or at least an agreement on the soul level. It's more like an agreement. And so that moves you forward. You cleaned up the past. You know, it's like, if I say to Cassidy, like, I'll be there on Friday at 10 and then I show up, what does that do for my spiritual life? It makes me not a jerk and it forwards me in the karmic wheel of existence.
Yeah.
So you did what you said you'd do.
Great.
Also your life with him, as we've already stated, is triggering him in the ways that he needs to be triggered to grow forward. Of course, it will bring up in you all of the, you know, there's something wrong with me. Why doesn't he like me? You know, what did I do? You know, that stuff will get triggered, but that gets triggered to show you and to remind you that like the answer is nothing's wrong with you. He's upset about stuff and it has nothing to do with you. It's one of the greater gifts, they're saying, of a big family like yours, is that with that many people around, at a certain point, you kind of just go, well, fuck, man, I can't control. Everybody's different and everybody's yelling and it's all out of control and I can't control this shit. And then you sort of surrender to like, okay, I'm this way and he's that way and dad is going to do his thing and, you know, hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I have for you on that second thing. They're like, it's not that relevant. It's not as big a deal as maybe you might've thought.
I think I experience in doing inner child work and things, I'm very aware of the trauma of separation from the attachment that I felt to him. Uh-huh. But in everything that you've just said, it's kind of like, yeah, you probably did. Yes. You know, and that's what you've experienced. Is that what I'm hearing that as?
Well, they say no. So
let me just listen.
It's you know, it's just as simple as they've said. You trigger him, he triggers you, you learn from the triggers. That's all.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't have to be any more significant than that.
Right.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, no, look, that's great, because the other question I've often had for myself when I explore this stuff is, when am I knowing, when is something my knowing, and when is this a narrative I'm trying to put around it?
Okay, yeah, so
that's a big one.
That's a good one. Yeah. Now, that's the whole point that they're pointing to, is that on the spiritual level, right, remember, you're asking the Akashic beings of light, which is like a spiritual place, energy system, tool. So spiritually, they're like, yeah, inner child attachment, I mean, sure, but like, you already know all that and blah blah blah, don't make it mean so much. Just be like, oh, I have some attachment wounding there, cool, now what does spirit want me to do?
Yeah,
that's all. So
yeah.
When is it you're knowing, and when is it a narrative? Let's see what they have for you here on that. So usually you're knowing, okay, knowing that is connected to source or higher knowing, you could say, or divine knowing. It is friction free, no friction. It's just a bright light. Now, interestingly, this is great for me. They're like, this is good for you, Katie. Listen up. Emotions, okay, we talk about it a lot on here, but they're giving a nice, okay, this is good. Emotions are a lower frequency from knowing, okay? When you have emotions, they are meant to be felt and processed to take you to knowing. Knowing is like this. Pew. It just, it's like nothingness. It's like silent light. It's like, yeah, that I want to do that. But you have to understand the difference between that energy versus emotional desire, emotional clinging, emotional sadness, emotional resistance. The emotions need to occur and be processed so that you can get to knowing. Sometimes human beings, they do, we were just talking about this too. They do one of two things: avoid their emotions altogether, or live in their emotions, and everything is the emotions, and my feelings are so significant now because I was never feeling my feelings before, and now I feel my feeling. It usually comes from trauma, where someone teaches a lot of women struggle with this, right? You're not supposed to have all those big feelings. Don't be so emotional. Don't be so mad. Don't be so happy. Tone it down, whatever it is. So women just stop having their feelings, and men too, everybody. And then one day they go, wait a minute, I can have these feelings. Then they have them, and then they make their feelings God. Or they make their feelings the end of the conversation of knowing. So your question is very wise, in that knowing comes like a breeze, like a like a wind. It's light. It's light when you know. It's not charged or chaotic. Now, of course, there's the gut knowing that can be like, oh, I know that this is a dangerous river to cross, or I know that, I don't know, this weather ahead, I shouldn't keep driving on this road because the weather's getting worse. But what we would encourage you to begin to attune your attention to, this is all of you, me included, is when there is a feeling attached to knowing, notice that there is a knowing, that it works that way, that there is a feeling and a knowing, and the feeling is attached to the knowing. The knowing is like a, you get a spidey sense. You don't know where it comes from. You're like, I don't think I should go down that alley over there. And then you look over and then you have a feeling about it. You're like, oh, it feels kind of icky down there. But if you pay close attention, you'll discover that you knew before you felt. So when you in particular are asking, how do I know if it's a narrative or a boobity-ba, there won't be friction, emotional friction on it if it's a knowing, but there will be emotional friction on it if it's a narrative.
Great.
Okay. And they want to say one more thing, two more things. One, remember, of course, you know this as a writer, that the emotional friction is quite useful in your writing. Drama, comedy, sadness, emotions. This is what sells a book. This is what makes creativity pop for humans, is the feelings. So, you know, feel free to swim in the waters of all of that for your writing.
Right.
Okay. Because that's where narrative is meant to be put.
Right.
It's meant to be put in a narrative, but it's not meant to be put in like, who do you choose to marry and what kind of car do you buy and where should you live?
Yeah.
That's coming. That you want that to be guided by knowing. That's number one. Number two is, let me see if I'm getting this right. Nope. 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 There is no number two. Mm. The end.
Yeah. That articulates what I've experienced, okay. But not been able to articulate.
Oh, great. So, great.
That lands like, yeah, right. I know that. I just needed to hear it like that.
100%.
For me to go, oh, right. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. And it comes back to Cassidy, what we were talking about you don't stop with the feelings. You go through the feelings, ideally with the light or however you go through it, until there is a spaciousness beyond the feelings. And that's where the knowing arises.
That is a pretty consistent message that comes through in a lot of your podcast episodes. And I can hear it again and again and again and again. And I love it.
Well, you know, and I was literally thinking that thought right before you said it. And then their response is like, that's how fucking confused human beings are about what to do with their feelings. Nobody has any idea what to do with these feelings. I mean, every problem on the earth, literally every problem on this earth is because some human did a weird thing with their feelings. Yes. Name a problem that doesn't come back to a human who said like, well, fuck it. Or like, now I'm going to blah, blah, blah. Let's destroy all the blah, blah, blah. Because I feel like it.
Because I fear, or because I need, or I'm lusting, or I want to get.
Or somebody hurt me, but I don't know how to deal with that. So fuck them. I'll destroy all the African people. It's not even always just the seven deadlies and the need and the clinging, all of that, 100%. And if you look at a Donald Trump, let's take him because he's easy. Or if you look at a Putin, you got to look at who that little boy was and what vulnerability in that little boy did not get nurtured. And in fact, got twisted up so that, and imagine the lesson you had to get about vulnerability and being a human being. If you're Trump or Putin, imagine the message you had to have gotten to become that. That is deep wounding. That there's where nobody is directing compassion to that wounding. Who is directing compassion to the wounding of Putin or Trump? Now, to be fair, they're not asking for it. So that's why they're not getting any. But, and if we were all to understand that, that is the whole game all the time. Hence us coming back and back and back to the same topic.
Yeah.
Nobody knows how to do it. Next.
All right. So my next question was about my business that I spoke about earlier.
Great.
Being a biography writer. I've had my own business for 20 years. I write the biographies of senior citizens. Mm. I've been through many phases with my business, growing it, limiting it, being full-time, part-time, letting it stagnate, reviving it, being stressed, bored, and excited by it.
Hmm.
All the while being genuinely proud of it and seeing its value to others and myself. I feel surrendered to letting my business continue to unfold, but would love to know if there's something I could be doing with it in alignment with a greater good. Could you read the records of my business to help me understand its place in my life and society overall?
What is the name of the business?
Nine Lives Biography Services.
Okay. 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 So let's go ahead and Lords, Masters, Teachers, if you could, Divine, Mother, Father, all that is, the consciousness, the source, all the things. I keep hitting the microphone. I'm so sorry, Desmond. Can we please open the Akashic Records of Nine Lives Biography Services? Yes. Well, there you go, being a golden light again. Huh. This is like, I mean, this is the kind of shit that they... You do more of that, you don't have to like reincarnate again. It's like so beautiful what you're doing. The energy of it is so golden and beautiful and generous. And I'm sorry, what was the question?
Is there something I could be doing with my business in alignment with the greater good?
Okay.
Could you help me understand its place in my life and society overall?
All right, we're going to stay on the first thing. That next thing is they're like, no, no. So the first thing, is there something she could be doing with the business in alignment with the greater good? Yes. Okay. My goodness. You know, they want you to like, you know, that cheesy saying, live out loud.
Mm.
They're like, we would, you know, you've got to live out loud with this thing a bit more. This is a, yeah. And I wonder who else wants this? Who else wants your services? They're going, bigger, brighter people want this service. You've been so generously doing it with people who, like, just from their heart are aging and need it, which is because you're fucking Mother Teresa, which is amazing. And it's actually in the greater good to be more visible, to be more visible. Live out loud with it. Yell it from the rooftops. There, can you get some publicity, some marketing materials, some visibility? Visibility, visibility, visibility is what they're saying.
Yeah.
I do see a bookstore. Well, okay, so far, what does that do for you, or what does that bring up for you, Margaret?
I've often had resistance to that. You know, it's not hard to get that advice from just humans who just right. say, wow, you know,
right.
you should market that stuff more. And I just kind of, in me, it brings up a kind of like a, oh, okay, do I have to? Like I fit so well in the pocket of just doing what I do that then stretching myself out to the marketing, to the, hey, look at this. Hey, please find value in this. See what I'm doing. This is so great. You could do, I just go, yeah.
Okay, God, hold on. Okay, good, yeah. good. That makes 100% sense. I relate to that. They're like, okay, here's how you do it so that you don't have to feel, ugh, because you don't yeah. want to feel, ugh. Casually, yeah. like on a Saturday, you're casually hanging out. Just casually throw a bunch of press kits together and just yeah. casually send it to a bunch of like publishers and like publicity people and say like, here's my, you know, here's the list of how many I've done. Gather a few testimonials of people. What's that word? Doing this thing about you that you did to us.
Golden rule?
No. Like
appreciating.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Like praising you. Just,
yeah. Oh, please. What she did for us. Gotcha. Yes.
Please ask the people you've written the books for, the ones that are happy, the family members, the younger family, like the kids of the people you did it for, the adult children. Yeah. Hey, like, do you have 10 seconds to like write 3 sentences about, and I would give them a formal questionnaire, 3 questions. Question number one, how did it make you feel to receive Margaret's biography of your mother? Number two, what is special and unique about Margaret and her work? Number three, how did your parent, you know, the subject of the book feel about receiving their biography? Notice there's a lot of feelings. And then use those testimonials, get like 10 of those. You have plenty. Yeah. Put them in there in the press kit, along with like a pretty picture of your face on a nice sheet of paper. You're going to make a nice little folder, left side, right side, picture, business card, testimonials, some excerpts from the different books. Like here's like 2 pages from this one and 2 pages from this one. And that's all, like 6 pages total. And then you're going to send that to a bunch of publicists and publishers and all the people. But do it with the energy of like, sure, I'll spend a Saturday doing this with no attachment to what happens or what comes of it or doesn't. And say like, you know, some weird spiritual lady told me like, I should probably tell people about this. So if you're moved to tell people about it, I guess we're supposed to tell people about it. And just like, meh, send it out. And then let those people who like to do that stuff for you.
Yeah.
Now, here's what's going to help you. You got to remember, Margaret, you doing that, it's not about you. It's about the thousands of people you're going to help with your light. I mean, you have to understand, this is a little bit like your sort of Mother Teresa Dharma thing. Like your thing is to, do you understand? Oh, Margaret, they say, oh, Margaret. They're like, think about humanity. Think about it. How dark and lost and injured so many people are. Oh, what gift your light would be. Your writing is infused with the golden light we're describing that you carry. So when you're published all over the lands and the people want you to come on Good Morning America and shit, it's because the light, you're doing your Mother Mary shit. It's like for real. And it's all energetic. So you don't have to do a single fucking thing that feels out of integrity ever. You just smile and show up like you. You're fine.
great.
Okay.
It just amazes me that what you just said mirrors what I said to you just before, how casually you put this podcast together. How much I appreciate that you're showing me how to do that. And then they go, yeah, just throw it together. And I'm like, right. In my head, I'm like, oh, just like Katie and Cassidy. Ow.
Yeah, and nice. There is still work that gets done. I mean, for our podcast, what happened is we were like, oh, fuck it, let's just do it. And we sat at Katie's dining room table and like crapped it out. And we're like, oh, that was cool. Now what? And then a friend mentioned Desmond to us, like, oh, I know a guy who has a podcast channel. And we're like, oh, we know Desmond. And it just magically grew. But we weren't like, okay, business plan. Okay, find a publisher and an engineer and a hugger. We just were like, well, let's do the thing and then ask a few people. And then the gift of yes, I would like to do that grunt weird work that you don't want to do for you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That person did come. Hopefully that'll happen for you.
That's the energy I like. Yeah.
Everyone needs a Desmond in their life.
For sure. Yeah. What else? Anything else for you?
No, that was so hit so perfectly, like a bullseye. The only other question I have is about doing my work. You know, I love how you close out everything with, do your work, people, do your work. And, you know, the way you describe your spiritual practice, Katie, of like getting up and sitting in the chair first, you know, that's really influenced me. And I do that now pretty fastidiously too. But I guess I do want to ask about my spiritual practice. Like, what would be extra helpful for me to do? What would really help?
That's great. What do you do now?
I sit and meditate. I light a candle. I gather crystals that I think might be beneficial in that moment. I sit and I listen and I try to get into stillness, but sometimes there's movement in that stillness and it's just trying to be. I try to be.
Okay, got it. Okay. Interesting. Okay. They would like you to get in alignment with your star family. We're doing so much star family work lately. Comes up in my private sessions a lot. This yawn, by the way, is because your energy is so fucking high vibe that it's like working me. So thank you. Star family. So they want you to get in alignment with your star family. Now, the Celtic traditions, whatever they are, I don't really know much about them on the earth level, like whatever kind of Celtic mystics there were, those ladies, and they were ladies, and some druids, I guess, and they were men, or were they? No, ladies, sorry. Celtic ladies, druid ladies are in alignment with and received the download of consciousness from a particular star nation. Oh, let me listen. And they like you too. Receive the energetic transmission of that star family. So let me just listen. The Lyrans. Okay. Numerians. Lyrans only. Lyrans for now. Okay. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to YouTube and you're going to search Lyran divine light transmission. Oh my God. And they're bringing one through right now. Oh my God. So. Feel into your midline, Margaret, if you would, please. All the way down to the base of your belly. Feeling into the base of your belly, the pelvic floor, solar plexus, the heart center, the upper chest, the throat, the third eye at the center of your head and your crown. Just kind of get into touch with all those chakras, the midline of the body. And here we go with a nice high vibe Lyran transmission. I'm in. Very fine, very light energy. Ugh. And it's permeating through all the cells of your being, straight through that midline. Oh my gosh. The Lion's Gate portal somehow is relevant here. I don't know if you're familiar with that kind of new age idea of the Lion's Gate portal, Margaret. Okay. So that was big for you and is, and somehow is connected to the Lyrans. I don't actually know about them very much. So I'm just listening here. Okay. We're going to keep transmitting some light now. All the way down and through. They are treating consciously and up-leveling the frequency of your emotional process, which means you will feel things more, but you will feel things faster. So you'll be like, I'm really fucking pissed. And then it's gone. And then you'll be like, I'm so upset. And then it's gone. And then you're like, I'm so hot. And then it's gone. And then you're just light and space, light and space, light and space.
Oh my goodness. So, excuse me.
Daily communion, please, for 11 minutes, 11 minutes a day, with the Lyran transmission that you're going to find on YouTube. Please feel free when you find it, or you find one that you think might be it, send it to Katie via email. Be like, how about this one in as a link? And then I'll check it out for you.
Okay.
You can just trust yourself too. But if you have it, if you're like, I don't know, is it this one? Feel free to send that.
Okay.
Right.
Holy shit. These guys have such a distinct energy.
Just for the sake of the listener and for all of us to understand, you remember when the Mintakans were here through Yvonne? The Mintakans are like silent, dry wind at the speed, way faster than the speed of light. Silent, like that, efficient, just fast speed of light, way faster than that. Like an arid desert wind that is so sharp, it can slit you down the middle. That's how fucking potent and sort of, I don't want to say masculine, but kind of masculine they are. They're like a, you know, those razors that can cut diamonds, or like that razors that use a diamond to cut through steel. Like that is how fast and sharp and phew they are. Now, the Lyrans are more like, they're showing me the energy, so I can't describe it yet because I'm just tasting it. I'm like, okay, you're going to need to put that in words. Because
they're just a yawn. That's it.
Okay, they keep showing me the face of a lion, which, okay, so the Lionsgate portal, I guess, is Lyran, which would make sense, but just because the way the word sounds. The energy of it is like, it's feminine. It's not as masculine as the Mintakans. It's soft and refined, but not anywhere like the Arcturian energy, which is very heart-centered. The Arcturian energy is like, love, and we love you by a river of love. This Lyran energy is more like, okay, like, you know how a female lion, a lioness, she purrs, but she'll sit in your lap and purr and lick your face with that big lion tiger tongue, but she will fuck you up if you're full of shit. You know, if you go for her cubs, she'll just in one swipe pew, with that claw and you're done. What we mean by that is there's a softness here, but it has a ferocious, penetrating light about it. It's diffuse and kind of yellowish. Okay, and the metaphor is like, if you imagine, like, if you put a positive version of battery acid on your body, if you just laid down on the ground and somebody poured battery acid on you, it would drop through you, right? And just incinerate you till there was nothing left. This light is like that. But the good kind. This light is like a tannish, yellowish frequency, like a mist of lioness level soft potency. I did it.
Nailed it.
Applause for you getting words to that.
Jesus Christ.
We got something out of it.
Thank you. That was not small. Or easy, I should say. So you're connected to that. No big deal. And as you do this 11 minutes a day with the Lyran transmission, you're going to, they're going to be working with you as we did today on your second chakra and your heart and your voice and not get in your mind all the way through the midline. Okay. Not getting in your own way so much, just being like, here's my feelings, deal with it. And like, here's my choice. Get out of the way, world. Cause here I come. I'm sending this shit. I'm going over here. Now we're getting ice cream. Now I take a nap. Now I go to the river. It doesn't make any sense. They're going to obliterate your obsession, they say, with needing to understand why and when and how. They're going to blow your fucking mind out of your fucking head. such that you're left with like, you're going to be like just moving. You're going to be like a fucking lioness in the jungle. You know, the lions, they don't sit around going like, I don't know, should I? They're just like, now we hunt. Now we're by the river. Now I lick my cub. Now I sleep. Now I kill that other animal. Now I chase the gazelle. You just go on instinct. That's going to be you after we do this, these transmissions for a little while. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, Squeezle has an opinion on the on the matter.
What do you think? Well, actually, he was just answering my question because I know you're in Colorado and I was thinking, where's your dog and cat?
Did they come Squeezle with you? Is right there on that chair. I don't know if you could see that little speck of white.
Yeah,
I can. And I have a cat sitter with Kismet.
Yeah, cool. I did wonder.
You're the best. I'm going to go back and get her this coming Saturday, actually, heading home.
Get the family back together.
Got to do it.
Yeah.
Any last questions? That was...
Heck no. That was all so specific, so fabulous, so much, so rich that I'm going to need to sit with all of that for quite a while.
Okay, I hear that. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Well, you can sit with your memory of it for now, and then we'll put it out. The episode itself will be another few weeks, and then you can remind yourself.
Yeah, that would be great.
I want to tell you, Margaret, there's some times when I open the records, usually this happens in my healing class where I have 12 or 13 people in class, and I open the group records, and then we do a healing, and it's so intense for me. I mean, it's just so intense, I should say, that and my vision goes away. I can't see or open my eyes. And if I do open my eyes, I'm not seeing anything. I'm like pulled into some other realm of whatever it is. Anyway, it's so happening right now. Your frequency and this Lyran energy and what your soul is and the golden light of it and who you are and the alignment with source is so high and so bright that there is no, this is what they're teaching me right now. There is no look at that. It came up. Everything we talk about with you comes back to what we talked about right before you came on. It's fucking tripping me out. Remember we talked about the eyes, Cassidy?
Uh-huh. Your eyes don't make decisions with your eyes.
Yeah. Oh God, that's blowing my mind. Okay. Okay. Your energy is all those words I just said about it. So much so that my eyes are irrelevant. All that matters is what I can feel inside of this space and the beauty of it and how expansive and bright and golden and strong it is and surrendered and deep and spiritually aligned and bippity-boo. So the eyes are literally incapacitated because were I to reference anything outside, it would be so, it would diminish the beauty and the expansive brightness of what I'm sitting in the middle of from my inner eye, the spiritual eye, once it is ignited through the pineal gland and the pituitary gland, becomes the doorway through which one can see spiritual truth. But notice, seeing spiritual truth has nothing to do with looking out. It has to do with feeling in and receiving in. I'm seeing your frequency, seeing with my whole being. So if my eyes were, I mean, they literally like make them not work. It's, they don't work right now. Mm. And I'm saying that for all of us to kind of like, I guess like marvel in that a little bit. Cause it's like the spiritual teaching is don't look at your life choices through your eyes that look at the world, because then you will covet and you will desire and you will compare and you will judge and you will say that one's pretty and this one's ugly and I don't look good and she does. And I want that and I need that and all of that. When I'm sitting in the eye of the soul right here, I have no needs right now, Margaret. I don't need a thing in my forever because I'm sitting in the fucking river of golden light that is your soul. What the fuck need do I have? I have need of nothing. And so that's for all of us to understand. That is the promise of the connection with spirit. You will literally need nothing. Because it will magnetize to you that which you actually require from the outside. And it will fill you up so bright and beautifully that you won't even care if you have a nice chaise lounge to sit on. Not to mention, though, that the chaise lounge you want to sit on will show up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the paradox of that is not understandable by the human mind, but it is what occurs through the spiritual walking. And that's the fucking potency of the Lyrans right there. All of that. Oh, I never want to leave your records, and we have to leave your records. I live here now in your records.
They're available to you at all times, Katie. That earpiece we spoke about, we'll just get that hooked up.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, fuck, Margaret. Thank you so much. What a gift this is. I hate to close it, but I think we're going to
close it. And let me say something to you and Cassidy after you close it.
Thank you. Okay. This one has a particular, let's see what the words are. If I can read anything.
If your eyes work.
Oh, can't read. All right. Okay. Thank you, lords, masters, and teachers of the Akashic Records of Margaret Mick, whatever the hell her last name is, Kira. thank you for the God. I mean, thank you from the deepest parts of my being for this experience and for this getting to be in this golden river of light. It's tremendous. Thank you for making her the way she is. Thank you, Margaret, for having done so much work in your past lives that you showed up this way that we get to benefit. Thank you for the guidance and the teachings and the healing. And thank you to the Lyrans for that very cool transmission that I hope anyone else got to feel, because boy, was that cool. I ask that you return all of us to our complete human wholeness now, in particular Margaret, all the way returning all of her energy to herself and the rest of us listening. I ask that you return us all completely to our complete human wholeness. Guide, guard, protect all of us as we travel forward on our respective paths. The divine portal and the Akashic Records of Margaret, middle name. Thank you, Margaret Louise.
Louise.
McCarahan. Are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic Records for Margaret Louise McCarahan are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic Records for Margaret Louise McCarahan are now closed. Amen. 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 And Squeezle like comes running over right when we're done.
Yeah, I know. Now you're ready to say hi, huh?
Yeah, come on. She's back. She's back.
Come say hi.
You're back on my plane, Mom.
Come here. Come here. Come over here.
I know. It's totally like that.
Well, Margaret, before we got on, I was telling Katie what a shit week I was having, just not feeling good, not like went through a period of literally disliking myself, which is not a good feeling. And then like, so anyway, so I just want to thank you for coming. You were like a gift from a beam of light that we both needed desperately in this moment. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, it's so perfect. I love this space of like just such mutual gratitude that we're all in now, because I just want to say no, thank you, thank you. And even Cassidy, through that, like, I know through these readings you're quiet and yet your presence matters, like, even, and you know, I'm seeing you on the screen as well, you know, I know when I'm listening to the podcast I'm just listening, but your face there is comforting, you know. So it's like no, thank you, and thank you, Katie, and thank you for your gifts. And then you're saying thank you, and it's just like we are all in gratitude. Let's just swim in that. It's beautiful. So, and look, honestly, I really need you guys to know, like, we've connected now, and like, whether you like it or not, we're buddies. So anything you need, connect, and it can be as casual as that. Drop me a line, drop me a message, drop me in anything, ask, tell, do anything. I'm yours. Yeah.
Margaret, we love you so much. Thank you so much. You're just
may I?
The gem of all things. Yes, Desmond. Oh.
I want to pile on the thanks. On several levels. One, as an engineer, you sound amazing. You have a beautiful voice. It's coming through crystal clear. And the fact that it's traveling so far to get here is awesome.
Right.
As far as all the answers go, this is a banner moment. You know, you wrote in, you didn't know what was going to happen, and here you are on the show. Yeah. And beyond all the answers for the network, this is huge. I've been producing, hosting shows for over a year and just kind of thrown them in a void. And you threw a penny back up from the bottom of that well. And it gives me hope.
That's awesome.
Good. You are doing good work, Desmond. And look, if I could quote you, I think one of my favorite quotes from you was in episode 3 that said, "Every beep I put into this podcast proves my worth." And it's one of my favorite quotes from And I was like, I haven't given you too much to beep, but your worth is proven being there. Thank you for sharing that, Desmond. That's really good. And it's nice to have you sort of at the end going, hi, I am here. I know I'm an engineer in the background, but I'm a person. I'm here, which is really good.
Thank you, Margaret. We love you.
I better get out of here. So you guys get on the meeting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right on the minute.
Thank you all.
Or have a great morning, I think,
yeah.
For you.
You'll need it after all of that. And I'll see you guys.
Bye, Margaret.
Bye.
Look at that frozen face. That's an amazing
That's
face.
That's perfect. That's perfect freeze face. I can't. Look at that. That's perfect. I wish the viewer could see it. That was fucking unfucking believable.
Oh my God. Everything I needed.
You got all the praise you needed.
Yeah.
And the love and the adoration. The spiritual energy she brought through for me was like, I'm good for weeks now. That was fucking off the fucking charts.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
I know.
And then what a generous, sprightly, loving, wonderful human.
Yeah. And then the work she does, boom, right in there.
What the fuck?
Great. Awesome person.
She just blew my mind. And the timing of it and how we kept having moments where it was like, we just talked about that. We just talked about that. We just talked about that. And I was like, again.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm a little blown away.
That was awesome.
That was fucking cool. Here, I'm going to stop recording.
Wait. Before you stop recording, we should at least say something like,
oh
yeah, great episode. You guys are awesome.
Do your work.
Do your work.
Awkward ending of work. Do it. Do your work. Do it.
That's the end of the podcast.
You asking for all of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you. Love you guys. Have a good night. Bye.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.